Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Pleased to be joined by his first visit on our show. No stranger to the zone. He's done quite a few interviews over the offseason. Titans defensive coordinator Dean Pease is with us. Welcome.
Thanks, Jonathan. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. This is a players league. I know you've said that in the past. It's not a coaches league. It's a players league. And it would seem like you have a defensive personnel right now to be flexible and give several different looks to opposing offenses. Are you pleased with how things have developed over the last several months?
Yeah, I'm very pleased. I think the guys have been working real hard. It's always hard, even though you go through OTAs, when you're putting in a new scheme. You know, even when you come back for training camp, you kind of slowed it down on OTAs. Now we're kind of speeding it up a little bit and going through it a second time. The thing that I really like about our guys is the attention to detail. They do a great job in the classroom. You got to be able to take what you get in the classroom out to your drills, and then you got to take your drills into the team things. And the guys have been able to do that.
You've been teaching for a long time in football. Can you tell right away when you're talking to a guy, when you're instructing, that he's not getting something just by looking at him in the eye and seeing the look on his face as you're going through something new?
Most times, you can. And I think a little bit, I feel fortunate that the way I came up, I was actually a school teacher in high school football starting out. I think it helps you, at least in the progression of teaching. But absolutely, to answer your question, you can tell. You can tell when a guy gets it by his body language, and you can tell a guy when he doesn't. And, you know, you always ask them to ask questions, but very seldom do they want to, but you can tell they want to.
In fact, teaching, you started teaching English in high school, right?
Yeah, that didn't last for long.
Well, you were a coach, so you had to be the physical education teacher.
Yeah, but they heard my language on the football field and got me out of the English class real quick. So, but, yeah, I actually started out as a high school teacher, English and PE, yep.
Dean Pease is our guest. When you got the call from Mike Vrabel, he kept calling and calling. And there came a point where you and your wife were discussing this at home until like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning when you made the decision that you were going to come out of the quickest retirement in NFL history and be the defensive coordinator here. When did it hit you that, you know, you said, you know what, I'm going to take this job? Vrabel's been calling me so much, I'm going to call him back and say yes.
I'll be honest with you, Jonathan. I think really the first time he called.
Okay.
I mean, it really kind of, it was like, well, do we want to? But there was that thing in you that says, yeah, I want to, right off the bat. Then it was a matter of, it didn't really take a lot. It was Mike. And although I will say, along with saying that I loved working for Baltimore. I don't want to ever have, you know, anybody doubt that I loved my time there and I truly was going to retire. But then all of a sudden this happened, and it was Mike. And, you know, I hadn't been that far into retirement that I could say I really enjoyed retirement. So we just felt like it was the right thing to do.
Your path to the NFL is a fun one to follow because you were on the staffs of three prominent college coaches. Nick Saban at Kent State. I take that back. He was at Michigan State, right?
Michigan State.
Lou Holtz at Notre Dame. And then Gary Pinkel at Toledo.
Yes.
Right? If we're watching Dean Pease coach, are there aspects of all three of those coaches and what you do?
Well, I think there's probably aspects of those three plus a couple that I actually was at the University of Findlay when I first became a college coach, Miami of Ohio with Tim Rose, and then even, you know, you coach Belichick. I think there's a little bit of all the guys that you take with you whenever you work for somebody.
It clearly, to become Nick Saban and have a success, it takes a while to get to be the fully formed coach of Nick Saban. What was Nick Saban and his first head coaching job like working with at Toledo when you were around him?
We're on air, right?
Yeah.
No, we have a dump button. He was a fiery guy like he is now.
Yeah.
I mean, he's actually mellowed some over the years, believe it or not. But, I mean, he was into everything. I mean, he was on the field. He was doing all the stuff. I mean, he was very, very energetic. At the University of Toledo, I actually worked for him twice. So I worked for him at Toledo, and then he left to go to the Browns. I went to Notre Dame, and then when he got the head coaching job at Michigan State, I went back with him as a coordinator. So I actually worked for him twice. He's just an intense guy, attention to detail. But all those great coaches are that. They're different intensity, different personalities, but they all have attention to detail in their repertoire.
It seems kind of like an exclusive club to get the blessing from Nick Saban. I think about Bobby Knight and his assistants, the guys that he would bring back, and that once you kind of got the blessing, it was like you were in this club of, this guy can work with me. People who are known to be difficult to work with at times. Bobby Knight's one of them. We've all heard stories about Nick Saban. Does it mean anything to you that you're one of those guys, that it came full circle and he went back and hired you, having worked with you before? Because I feel like that group is pretty few and far between where he'll bring someone back.
Well, I think sometimes all those stories about some of these guys, too, who get kind of stretched a little bit. Obviously, I wouldn't have gone back with Nick if I didn't love working for the guy, right? And so, I feel very fortunate in the guys that I've been with. I've never interviewed for a job. And so I feel like that's because of the guys that I've worked with. And if you work for good people, you know, the next person that comes along, every job I took, I liked. I cannot say there's a job I have had that I did not like. It's just another opportunity came along, and I thought I'd like that a little better or try it. And that's exactly what's happened.
Well, in fact, you worked for Saban at Toledo. He hired you having not even met you.
Correct.
Because Steve Belichick, Bill's father at the Naval Academy where you were, recommended you.
Correct.
Right? And so you joined his staff, and I'm guessing that Bill's father, Steve, also recommended you to him. Is that how you connected there?
With Bill?
Yeah.
Well, a little bit. I had gotten to know Bill over the years through Steve, certainly. And I had actually at one time had been offered a job with him and decided not to go back when he was at Cleveland. And but even in the Navy job, it was funny. I was the defensive coordinator in Miami of Ohio, and I get a call from a guy named Elliot Uzalak, who was the head coach of Navy, and I had never met him. And he offered me the job over the phone from Lloyd Carr, who was at Michigan. Wow. So it's just, that's kind of how, you know, I just feel like if you do your job and you do a good job and you don't worry about the next job, the next opportunity will come along.
That was just a recommendation from Lloyd Carr is why he hired you?
Lloyd said, he asked, he wanted a secondary coach, and he goes, here's the guy I'd hire. And so Elliot hired me.
Titans defensive coordinator Dean Pease with us. Your first year as the head coach for Finley, you win the Division II national championship.
I was coordinator. I wasn't head coach.
Okay. Okay. And then your head coach at Kent State. That's
correct.
Why I'm getting mixed up there. First year with the Patriots, you win a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
First year with the Ravens, you win the Super Bowl.
I was the coordinator. Wasn't my first year at the Ravens. My first year as coordinator.
What is it with the first year?
I'm hoping. This is a good first year. That's what I'm hoping.
That's pretty remarkable, though, with all those
stops.
It is.
It's kind of funny. I thought, you know, I go to Finley College. At that time, I wasn't the University of Finley. It's Finley College. I was a high school coach. We won a national championship. I said, this stuff isn't so hard. And then I go to New England. The first year I'm there, as an assistant, we win the Super Bowl. This stuff's not bad. So, yeah, I'm hoping that we get another first.
We were talking right before we came on air to begin the afternoon portion of our show. You're headed to Canton, Ohio. One of your favorite players that you've coached over the years, Ray Lewis, inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame over this coming weekend. That's going to be a lot of fun for you, right? You're going as Ray's guest. That's going to be quite the weekend coming up.
Yeah, my wife and I, Mel and I, are going, and Ray sent us an invitation. And here's the thing I'd like to say about that a little bit is that I got this invitation to come to his ceremony and also to his party, and it was really, obviously, I was thrilled and humbled that he would invite me. But you know what's great is the fact that Mike Vrabel's letting me go, because there's a lot of coaches that might say, hey, we're in camp, you know, you can't do this. Mike's taken over for me, which that's not a problem. And so, but, you know, I really, truly are very appreciative of Mike. Let me have
this
opportunity.
Oh, you deserve to be there. I mean, I know that from your time in Baltimore, and to give fans a background on how you would put together that game plan, those defenses in Baltimore, we can rattle off all the big names, but you would meet with Ray Lewis, Ed Reed, Suggs, and Haloti Ngata, right? Before you met with the team, you would meet with those four players to deliver the game plan for the week, and they would agree or disagree with what you were going to do that week, right?
That's correct. I wanted their opinion, and I've done it everywhere. I've done it when Ray and them left. It didn't matter who it was. I've always done it. I want the players' perspective of what they feel about it. Because if they totally buy in right from the beginning, and especially those four guys, I'm not worried about anybody else buying in.
How do you select those four guys?
Well, a lot of times it's who's available, because sometimes that's during a special teams meeting, so I can't take their guys. But usually what I do is I try to take the leaders of every group if I can, secondary linebackers, D-line. You want the guys that are kind of represent the leaders on your defense, because those are going to be the guys that go back in that locker room and sell what you're wanting to sell.
Have you decided on those four here?
I'm getting there. Okay. I'm getting there. I wouldn't tell you right now, even if I did know it, but I am getting there, but I haven't totally decided yet.
Dean Pease has been our guest. Again, the coaching background and the tree and all the connections that you have is quite amazing. And then we didn't even get to some of the player stories, which we hope to do down the road, but glad you're here, and hopefully Nashville's making a good home for you.
We love it. My wife loves it here. I love it here. We got a great staff, great group of players, and so we're looking forward to it being here a long time.
Great to have you.
Thank you.